from Matthew chapter 20. As they were leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd followed him. And two blind men, including a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, were sitting by the road. When hearing that it was Jesus the Nazarene passing by, he cried out, saying, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd charged them, and many were rebuking him, that they should be silent. And they cried out more, saying, "Lord, Son of David, deal kindly with us." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call them here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, Rabbi, we want our eyes to be opened to receive sight." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him on the road. He was going on ahead, ascending to Jerusalem. Oh, I'm excited, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday edition to Mark and Friends. It's February 27th, 2013. And Jason, I couldn't wait for you to get to the studio this morning. I love this Merged Gospel series that I've been going through. I love reading God's Word. And I missed an opportunity yesterday in the studio. I had James Winston, and he talked about the transformational impact the Bible had on him reading the Bible for 2 years in prison. And he just loves reading the Bible and handing out Bibles. And I thought, oh, shoot, he was here yesterday. I didn't give him a poster. I didn't mention about the Merge Gospel series we're going to be doing in April. And I'm thinking, oh, I know he would love studying the Bible with the community, with all the people that will come together. And today was just as I was going through this account of Bartimaeus and his friend, I was just thinking, oh, I love so many aspects of it, that here these two guys are blind, they're along the roadside, they hear Jesus is coming, they're screaming out, you know, "Jesus, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And then Jesus stops, and one of the guys apparently jumps up or comes over to him. It's kind of unusual where it says him and they, and yet then Jesus spoke to him. So I'll ask you a couple questions about this, but then the part I love, and they said to him, "Lord, Rabbi, we want our eyes to be open to receive sight." And then the response, "Moved with compassion." Oh, man, Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, moved with compassion, touches their eyes. And he says to them, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately their eyes receive sight, and they followed him on the road. I mean, can you imagine? This is kind of part of that triumphal entry. This is just before he comes over the Mount of Olives. He's just left Bethany, where he had prior raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, all that vicinity is, you know, just a quarter mile, a few miles away. He's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, and here these blind guys must be jumping around, excited, worshiping God, following along with him. And this is before Mary's going to anoint his feet. And this is just an account, as you read God's Word, that you can say, "Lord, teach me, help me learn, help me ascertain some truths, help me find points of application." And I love the fact that we serve a God who is compassionate. And Jesus saw their plight, and then he heals them. And yet he says, "It's your faith that has made you well." Their faith in him that he could do this miraculous work. And, oh, I just think, everybody, get in God's Word today. He has a message for you. He has something to speak to you through his Word, whether it's the Old or New Testament. Just read a portion. Open it up. I don't even care if you just open it up and put your finger somewhere. Just start reading and ask him to enlighten your mind, and something will make sense. Something will bring clarity. Something will help you along the way. Something may be just exactly what you needed, and you'll be kind of surprised. Now, I don't recommend that each and every day you just point your finger somewhere into the Word. I mean, have a deliberate intention. You know, read through the Gospels, or start at the beginning of the book, or read like 4 Psalms every day, and you can get through all 150 Psalms if you read like 4 every day, or read a proverb every day with the date. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's lots of different techniques or ways to go through the Bible. You know, this Merged Gospel series, the chronological Bible, a daily reading each and every day, but be in God's Word. And as James mentioned on yesterday's program, it will transform you. Okay. And if you missed yesterday's program, one little plug, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you will hear by reading God's Word how this individual conquered heroin addiction. And that's a huge, huge, tough addiction to get over with. How he learned about integrity, how he learned about God just by reading the scriptures. No one had taught him about praying and how to worship God and how to get to know God. And he found reading the scriptures was what brought him to God and helped him and is helping him conquer some of these addictions. So anyways, read God's Word today. And what do you think about this chapter? Isn't it kind of unique where there's these two blind guys, and yet sometimes it's referring to him or he and then them? And so I don't know. There's, I'm sure, a reason behind that. And I know I'm just throwing this at you out of nowhere. You didn't have any prep time.
Well,
but what? Hey, what's new?
Well, here's the easy answer, and it actually is a fairly easy answer. Depending on where you were standing and who was maybe of prominence, maybe somebody caught Mark's eye, so he fixated on just one gentleman. Because the point of the story is not the blind man who received sight. The point of the story is Jesus' compassion and Jesus' healing touch, Jesus is the light of the world. So the rest of what's happening in the story are just, you know, they're bit players in the story. But the story is about Jesus' power and his providence and what he can do. Jesus is light of the world. When I looked it up, one of the scholars said, this is simply a great...
And he was just looking it up like seconds or a minute ago.
Well, I just looked up to get a real quick overview. And Clark said in his commentary that this is yet again one of the great moments where we see that the Bible writers didn't conspire to deceive us. That Mark simply fixated maybe on one person. The truth of the passage was not destroyed. The truth of the passage and veracity of the miracle that Jesus did and what we're supposed to fixate on. You know, I think often in our humanity we look for the mistakes and we don't understand the mistakes, so we fixate on that. When the truth of the passage is we're supposed to be fixating on the power and providence of Jesus. And so it's just a point of application where they didn't conspire to deceive us. Matthew records, too, because where he was standing, maybe to the left or the right of Jesus, he remembers distinctly two people being there. Whereas Mark, maybe he only really fixated on one of the men. But again, the truth of the passage, when you read both of them, neither one changes. There's a couple of interesting points, so I want to say, because you said something, and I want to challenge you on it, gently push back and challenge you. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, so we know Jericho's roughly about 17 miles from Jerusalem. It's about 1,700 feet lower than Jerusalem. So they were going uphill. They were ascending, going up towards the place where God is. It's also called the Way of Blood because it was a very dangerous passage to go through there. It actually is when David talks about the Valley of the Shadow of Death. He's referring to this wadi that goes down from Jerusalem down to Jericho, this very dangerous passageway.
Yeah, I think they also have a road called the King's Highway. We've traveled on it before, but because of the danger, because it's weaved through the mountainside and the terrain, and there's these steep kind of cliffs, they've closed it off, so you can't ride through there anymore. Yeah. Years ago, I mean, 10 or 12 years ago, we were still able to get a bus through there, but it's kind of a pathway from Jericho up to Jerusalem. I mean, it was a well-known route, but there's certain areas where it's all desert, it's all rocky, and, you know, there's all these places where people, robbers, could hide or be behind things and could come out, and where there was still water because it's a desert climate. So there were certain areas where there would be some water or pools of water, and so you would navigate through that because you would need to refuel your camels or donkeys or
right.
Whatever.
So Jesus' disciples are leaving Jericho. They're going up.
Okay, I'm still waiting for the pushback is coming.
So
I'm getting ready.
They're coming up to Jericho. It says a large crowd followed him. So people had seen and heard Jesus' teaching. They'd heard what Jesus was all about. Again, these are small towns. Jericho's a bigger town, but these are small towns. So people would hear about a new rabbi coming to town with a new yoke or a new interpretation of the Bible. And they would come out and want to hear what this rabbi was going to say. So these large crowd of people came out because they've heard about the things that Jesus has been doing. This is farther in Jesus' ministry, farther along. So there's been a lot of stories now about what this rabbi has been doing. So they all are coming out to hear him. And it says that two blind men were sitting by the side of the roadside. Okay, now listen, this is where I'm going to push back on you, because you said that they were kind of maybe jumping up and down, or they were probably doing that. So they were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by. So they were sitting at the roadside prior to Jesus coming by. So chances are these were beggars. Chances are these were men who were not accepted socially, so they were destitute. They were sitting outside of maybe the walls of Jericho or on the fringe of Jericho, once again, the Bible is very intentional in all the things that we can draw from it. So kind of a rock that, or you know, is something where you can squeeze it and you get more and more out of it. You draw all of it out of there. These people lived on the fringe because they were blind. They were poor. They probably were on the fringe of Jericho outside the city walls.
One, because they were blind, they were probably outcasts.
They were outcasts, yes, because always in that culture, any infirmities you had was somehow tied to some sin you must have done, a besetting sin, something you must have done. You remember when Jesus heals a blind man and the disciples say, hey, why is he blind? Did he sin or did his mom and dad sin? They didn't say, wow, you know, oh my gosh, let's go help him. They all, right away, the disciples in John chapter 9 want to know what the sin issue is. So these men would have probably been viewed, in fact, they would have been viewed as men who have committed some sort of sin, hence the reason that they're blind. So they're sitting there, and there's a large crowd of people. The large crowd of people are following Jesus. They aren't helping the blind men. So right away, we can see what the cultural aspect of this is and the cultural view of this, and we can see that the people are more enamored with Jesus than they are with helping their brothers and sisters, which means that they were more enamored with religion than they were with following God.
Which is true for many of us even this right. very day. I mean, we have that same
exactly.
pattern. We're busy to go to church. I mean, the parable of the Samaritan, you know, we're busy. Hey, got to go to church. Oh, yeah, there's a guy along the side of the road or somebody poor. I don't have time. I got to go to church.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so these people are more enamored with Jesus. Oh, my gosh, there's a new teaching, a new book, a new DVD out by that great Bible teacher. And they forget that they're called to go and help their brothers and sisters. I mean, Jesus, when he first came out of the gates in Matthew chapter 5, he says, look, if you're going to give a gift at the altar, and you have something against your brother, your brother has a need, leave the gift at the altar and go to your brother. And when you've reconciled that, then come to the altar and give God the good gift. You know why Jesus says that? Because the greatest gift you're going to give God is serving your brother, not coming to the altar. And those of, there are many of us, myself included many times, who think if I just come to the altar more, everything's going to be right with me and God. And you know what? We need to go to our brothers and sisters more. Go to our brothers. The Bible doesn't ever talk about just me and God. The Bible talks about us communally. And I love that Matthew here records two men, a communal nature of finding God. Now, I also believe that when the Bible talks about blind men, it's talking on two levels. First of all, these are blind, physically blind men. But also, it's a picture of spiritual blindness, too. And then this moment where they hear. They hear that Jesus is coming. And Paul uses this language later in the epistles that the God who separated the light and the dark made that light shine in your heart so that you would have the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the face of the glory of God. These men hear the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name.
Yeah.
And they go, oh my gosh. And right away they get excited. Why? Because that knowledge in their heart starts to well up and bubble up and they start to think, oh my gosh, what is this? What is this? And right away they say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd rebuked him. Right away the religious folks, the folks who are all about religion, say, wait a second, you're sinners. You're poor, you're destitute, you're blind, you must have a sin issue. Leave, you're not allowed here.
Or, hey, that's not appropriate.
Right.
We're very somber in this church service. You don't raise your hands, you don't
right.
sing out, hey, come on,
right.
get on with the program.
I have been in churches where I'm like that person who just lifted up their hand, shouted out, and in a proper way, not in an inappropriate way. They just brought life to this here, healing. So the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder because when you're in the presence of Jesus, you can't do anything but shout louder. And there will always be a religious person to tell you to be quiet. And here, these men are a picture of people who say, I can't because Jesus is moving my heart. He's moving my heart. And
I like, Lord, Son of David, deal kindly with me. What a great plea. Just a simple plea. Lord, Son of David,
well,
please.
And here's the promise of Jesus. He stopped and he called them. He didn't go on a little farther. He didn't go, who is that? Who are the? Somebody's calling my name. Notice the intentionality of Jesus. This is the promise of Jesus. He hears us call to him. He stops and he calls us. What do you want me to do for you? Right away, Jesus, and I'm going to tell you this. I taught this on Sunday morning, and I'll reiterate it here again. Jesus always gives us a choice. Read the Gospels. Jesus doesn't say, you need to be saved. Get over here right now. Jesus says, would say to people, repent, the kingdom of God is here, it's near, it's upon you. But Jesus always offers us a choice. And here he says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And Lord, they said, we want our sight. I think that really physically they wanted to be able to see with their really physical eyes. They wanted to be healed of their blindness. But I think that more so, they wanted to be healed of their spiritual blindness. They wanted to see the fullness of Jesus.
Because, hey, another...
Because what heals them? What heals them? Their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Their faith heals them. Their faith is the thing. The thing that... And what is faith? Listen, what does Hebrews say faith is? Something we can't see, yet gives us sight. Isn't that fascinating that the Bible says that the thing that gives these blind men sight is the thing that we can't see, but we must trust with our whole hearts? What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just thinking, and Jesus stopped and said, call them here. And here's just another thing I'm just kind of maybe gleaning out of here. So they called the blind men. This is the crowd, the people around him, and saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling you. And so there is a witness going on through Jesus' words. Like, they're all saying, wow, he stopped. He's calling you. Hey, take courage. I mean, that's interesting. Take courage. Maybe these people in the crowd disced or said, yeah, you're unworthy. Get out of here. Shut up. Be quiet. Now they're saying, take courage. I wonder what exactly that word is, take courage. But then stand up. He is calling you. So now they're engaged and they're like, boy, Jesus is valuing them. Maybe we should too. Or maybe we don't see something that Jesus sees in them. And I'm just, again, life application. How many times do we maybe overlook somebody or something just because of our preference, our prejudice, whatever it is? And then when we see that somebody else values that person or God values that person, it's like, oh,
well,
shoot,
well,
Lord,
listen. Earlier, so Jesus doesn't come with a new message. Okay, Jesus is teaching what God has taught since the beginning. Jesus comes and he puts flesh and blood on it. He puts feet to it and he begins to walk it out, touch people and talk to people. He brings a new dimension to the same mention, the same thing that God has been doing since the very beginning, since Genesis chapter 1. So here we're talking about blindness. And ultimately we're talking about seeing God, their faith allowing them to see God. And Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And remember, blessed is the Hebrew word ashrei, which means lucky if there was no connotation of luck involved. Because you're not lucky when you're with God. You have God's providence on your side, God's providential hand which leads and guides you. And so it said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they'll see God. Now, when Jesus is saying this, what is he welling up in people? Where is he directing us? Well, he's directing us to Psalm 15, which says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary and who may live in your holy hill? Because that's what these blind men are really seeking. How can I inherit the thing that God has called me to? How can I dwell in his sanctuary? And it says, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, who casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, who honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. And listen to this, who does these things will never be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And notice it says that we're to walk blameless and righteous and we're to speak truth from our heart, but we're not to slander people. We're not to do wrong to our neighbor. We're not to do those things. And we're not to be shaken. We're not to love our money more than we love our brother. We're not to love ourselves more than we love our brother. And when we do these things in our imperfection, because we are imperfect, we will see God. The blinders will be lifted off of us and we'll see more and more of God. If you're having trouble today seeing God, then get out and serve somebody. Get out and pray with somebody. Grab your Bible or invite somebody to this Merge Gospel study. Get out there and wrap your arms around people. Because I think that sometimes the point of our blindness begins in our loneliness. When we believe, well, it's just us following God alone. And you know what? That's not the existence God calls us to. And I think that that's where our blindness begins. I think our eyes get a little fuzzy and dim. And then pretty soon we grow weary and we go blind because we're all by ourselves. And if you want to see God, if you want to take the blinders off, wrap your arms around somebody and serve them today. And you know what? Your faith will heal them. Your faith will heal their faith through what God is doing in and through you. I would prompt people to read the whole passage in Matthew chapter 20.
And the parallel passage is Mark chapter 10.
Mark chapter 10. But really read Matthew 20, all of it, it's an entirety, because contextually there's a lot going on here that we don't even have time to go into. The parable of the the parable of the vineyards and the workers, which talks about the generosity of God and talks about how nobody is before anybody else. Really, that speaks to what happens with the blind men, because the blind men is the crescendo here, kind of what's happening. That parable talks about how it doesn't matter if you came to work first or you came to work last. It doesn't matter if you are blind or if you are of stature, that God will heal you by your faith irregardless. And then right after this, whenever Jesus calls you closer to the kingdom, he doesn't hold back in telling you what it's going to cost you. And that's what happens in a mother's request here, where she says, look, my sons want to sit at your right hand. And Jesus goes, you don't know what you're asking. They have to then drink from the same cup I'm going to drink from. And Jesus knew that cup. We don't even have an idea of what the cup of the wrath of God that Jesus took at the cross, even what that is like. But Jesus right away says, you want to be my disciples? This is the real deal. I always say Jesus had some really great evangelism. He didn't mince words. And that's why people would follow him, and then they'd leave and go, and then they'd come back, because he didn't hold back. But he told them the truth. And you know what? That's what we really need to tell people, is the truth. Wrap our arms around people. Heal them through showing them who God is, helping them to see God, and then telling them what it means to follow Jesus. Not what it means to follow Jesus, that kind of candy corn Christianity where we're like, everything's going to be great, streets of gold, blah, blah, blah. Tell them what it really means to follow Jesus. That, you know, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who persecute you because of righteousness. Jesus is saying, blessed are you because, you know what, if people are giving you a hard time, it's because you're following me. It's because you're walking after me.
Wow. Lots in this little passage, but it's God's word. It is the truth. The fact that Jesus is filled with compassion, God is filled with compassion toward you today. And you may need a real physical healing. Maybe there is somebody tuned in that is blind, but how much better to be healed of the blindness of not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. God will give you sight and insight into his word as you draw near to him. Read his word today, everyone. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.